101.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show. In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
Welcome to In the Cage MMA Radio. Great to have you with us. I am Vince Ferrara here on 99.1 The Sports Animal, 99.1thesportsanimal.com on our free app as well. Joined by Tim Loy, MMA matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. Tim, how are we doing during this pandemic and quarantine time that we're in right now?
I'd say week by week, you'll see me get more and more disheveled as we go, as the days and the nights are all starting to blend together. I'm trying to hang in there, man. But, we got some good news if you're an MMA fan.
Yeah, no doubt. Dana White going to make UFC 249 happen. And we've been thankful that he has stayed in the news and trying to make it happen with all the adjustments. So we're going to break it down in big time detail coming up on the show today. Plus, Ovince St. Preux will join us. He is fighting on the follow-up card on April 25th. His opponent has changed. We'll talk to Ovince St. Preux coming up in our next segment, plus more on UFC 249 and a number of other notes. It's amazing. We haven't had the live UFC events or Bellator or any of the main national or regional organizations, but MMA news continues to happen. We'll podcast this right after the show is done. We're here each Wednesday night from 8 until 9 on the Sports Animal, posting the video as we're on Zoom as well for you, and then we'll bring it to you right afterwards. So you can check us out on YouTube also at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. We'll have the video and the podcast for you. Just go to the show page. You can get our podcast there at Vince Sports on Twitter. Tim is at TZ Loy. Facebook as well. Find Tim Loy there. Those of you that are in the medical profession, we really appreciate your hard work. I know I have some family members that are nurses, and many of us know someone. So thanks to all of you that are doing all the work, first responders, and a lot of people in harm's way right now while we're kind of hunkered down through this period. So hope you're getting through with it, and hopefully we're a little bit of a distraction for you during this period of time. But thanks to Dana White, it looks like we're going to have some action. So let's get to our big three stories. Dana White says April 18th will start a series of UFC events. UFC 249 is a go. And Tim, so much to unravel from this, as Dana White says that he is going to make this happen. UFC 249, I said, we'll get to the main event in just a minute, but he says, hey, we're going to have a private island. We got a private location that I'm still not giving up. He thinks they'll have the island secured in a day or two. They have their own planes to fly in international fighters. This is amazing that Dana White looks like he's going to make this happen despite a whole lot of naysayers and a lot of criticism that he has taken through this.
Hey, man, I've been on the bandwagon since all this started. I said that, you know, he's going to figure out a way to make this happen. A lot of people are like, man, there's no way. There's just no way that they're going to have a show on April the 18th. April the 18th.
Yep.
But, you know, all along I said, you know, if the UFC is given nothing but time, a month essentially, to gear themselves towards figuring this out, they're going to figure it out. And it sounds like they have, and maybe even gone one up with this whole talk of the private island, which is like, it's like out of a story or something, man. It's pretty cool, really. It gives us something to look forward to and something for us to cover, at least for the next couple months, while hopefully this thing starts to settle down.
No doubt. Here's a quote from Dana White to read for our listeners. I'm also a day or two from securing a private island. I have a private island that I've secured. We're getting the infrastructure put in now. So I'm going to start doing the international fights too with the international fighters, because I won't be able to get international fighters, all of them, into the U.S. So I have a private island. I'm going to start flying them into the private island and doing international fights from there. We have all our own planes and everything. And you're right. This is absolutely insane. and something we've never seen before. But man, Dana White's absolutely been adamant that this is going to happen. You know, as far as the venue, Tim, he says that the fighters, they'll be squaring off in a venue that's closer to the stuff of action movies than the actual plan of a multi-billion dollar fight promotion. This venue is going to be out west. Sounds like it's in California. What do you think about pulling this off in a small private venue?
I think that it's, you know, the only option at this point. And I feel like, you know, it's going to be very, you know, very much scaled down because, you know, they don't need a big, huge arena to do what they're trying to do at this point. So, you know, you could do it in a large, just a large, you know, a warehouse convention center that is just, that's not open currently. But, you know, warehouse, honestly, you could do it. You could probably pull this off in a large open warehouse. The UFC has the production equipment and the lighting and stuff to still make it look good for television. And I think that at this point, Dana knows that, hey, you know, he's going to have the spotlight all to himself. He had the spotlight all to himself on that Brazil card. It was like the last show that happened. But now this is actually going to get a big lead up. I mean, he's going to have all eyes on him to turn a lot of new fans.
So it's been floated out there, a potential venue already, right?
Well, you know, there's some rumors out there that it's going to, that the Tachi Palace, which is the Tachi Reservation tribal grounds out there in Lemoore, California, they used to host the Tachi Palace Fighting Championships back in the early 2000s. They regular shows, so they're very MMA friendly. And that's been some of the chatter. I've seen Sherdog tweet something out there saying that, you know, he told first it was going to be Tachi Palace. And if you look back, Tachi Palace ran their shows on Sherdog. They streamed their shows on Sherdog, so he does have a connection there.
So it may not be where the actual fights will take place, but maybe even at least some sort of gathering location.
It sounds like Dana's never going to actually reveal where the fights are taking place. So it is possible that that is more of a staging ground that the fighters end up kind of convening, and then they put them on a bus and they take them to a warehouse in the desert, you know, or what have you. So it is possible that that is the case as well, because, you know, with this many guys, if he's talking about doing fights for the next several weeks, that's a lot of people you're letting in on your secret location.
Yeah, that's Tim Loy and Vince Ferrara on In the Cage MMA Radio, weekly, Wednesday nights, 8 to 9, here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you're healthy. Khabib has been critical and was critical last week of Dana White, not specifically calling him out, but basically calling out the UFC that, hey, we're supposed to be in this venue, then a change here, and you didn't give me time, and all this kind of stuff. But then Dana White, earlier this week, said, hey, it's not his fault. He was caught in the middle. Everything in the world was changing day to day. He was trying to book venues, and he said it's not anybody's fault. I've heard a lot of people complain that UFC 249 is even happening because they're afraid if Tony Ferguson loses, then that big fight that has been put on now and canceled five times won't ever happen. What do you think about maybe some of that backlash and some fans being upset that this is even happening because they don't want to lose on Tony and Khabib?
You're never going to make everybody happy all the time. That's one thing I've learned in this business firsthand. You're going to have half of the people that are going to be sour because they may potentially lose that Khabib-Tony fight if things don't go the way that they want them to go in this fight. You're going to have the other half, like myself, that's happy and grateful that we've got something, you know, after being locked down here for several weeks and who knows how many more weeks to come, to give me something to look forward to give us something to talk about, something to get our minds off of this stuff. And, you know, if they can do it safely and it means that we end up losing Tony Khabib over it, I'm willing to take that chance because, in my opinion, Gaethje and Ferguson is going to be a much more exciting fight.
Well, we'll get into that in a second. What about the safety element of this part of the criticism that Dana White has taken? Where do you fall on them putting this together despite a lot of people saying, hey, why are you doing this? There's contact, all that kind of stuff. Where do you fall on the safety aspect of
this? You know, without diving down a completely different rabbit hole, you know, I personally feel like they can do it and they can pull it off. I feel like with this much time to get people out there, I would imagine they're going to start getting them out there this week. I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, if they want to really do it as far as – take the utmost precautions to get as much testing done. You let, if someone is sick, let them have time to incubate and show signs of their illness while they're out there. you know, I don't have a problem at all with it. I think that, you know, they know that they're going to be scrutinized here. They know they're under a magnifying glass. So they're not going to drop the ball, I don't think, in any regard as far as safety goes and testing goes, because they know they're going to be hung out to dry if they do.
No doubt. So, by the way, Dana White did say that Joe Rogan was going to be there, even though I guess Joe Rogan in a podcast said he wouldn't. So I guess it could be Rogan Island as well as Fighter Island.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and you know, Joe's a guy that is, you know, shown to be like very wary of this whole situation. So they must have done something to assure him that they're going to do it in a proper way.
All right. Our second point in our big three stories in the sport here on In the Cage MMA Radio is the main event. As it's official, El Kakui, the number one ranked fighter for Habib's title, Tony Ferguson, 26-3. He's now going to take on the highlight, fourth ranked Justin Gaethje, who's 21-2 for what they're now calling the interim lightweight title. We've seen this before in the lightweight division. What do you think of this fight being put together? It looked like it was going in that direction, and Tony Ferguson agreed to it.
I love it. You know, I actually think, like I said before, it's a more exciting fight. Gaethje's going to go out there and brawl. You know, he's going to go out there and bang. And if he beats Tony Ferguson and he derails the Tony Ferguson train versus the Khabib, then if that happens, it's going to happen spectacularly. I'll say that. You know, like if he beats him, he's going to knock him out. I don't see Gaethje going out there and winning a 5-round battle on short notice with Tony Ferguson. But if he wins, he's going to win by stellar knockout.
Is this the right move for Tony Ferguson with all that he could potentially risk with the money from a Khabib fight? And then the fact that he is a very dangerous opponent, is Ferguson doing the right thing and not saying, no, I'll wait for Khabib?
I think so. I think he realizes, well, first off, I don't know for sure that they would cut his money from what he was going to make anyway to fight Khabib versus to fight Gaethje under the circumstances. Mm-hmm. If they want to keep that fight together and they want to keep Tony the main event, I would imagine he's still making the same purse. Good chance he is, especially with the conditions and the you know, him putting his neck on the line here. So I would imagine the money probably isn't such a huge deal. As far as losing the opportunity to fight Khabib, you know, he's still in the main event. And he's still going to be fighting with all eyes on him in the only game in town, April the 18th, with so many eyes watching him. This is Tony Ferguson's chance to go out there and become a true superstar.
Just for our listeners to understand that Tim knows what he's talking about. Tim, former organization president, current matchmaker. So putting fights together, matching them up, looking at the big picture versus the short term, this is a very unique perspective that Tim has. On that note, Tim, for Dana White, in keeping Ferguson in that main event and matching him up with another really good fighter in Gaethje versus maybe saying, okay, no, we're going to hold it back for long term, we're thinking big picture. Sure. Talk about that balance of Dana White thinking about the short term versus the long term in that balance.
It's something that you have to calculate even on the regional scene. You know, do you want to put two big prospects against each other too soon to where you derail one of them, or do you want to hold it off or down the line for a situation where you can really, you know, make more money or get a better boost for the winner, et cetera, et cetera. I get the train of thought that, you know, maybe he should hold off here, maybe he should put it off. But the only argument in that regard would be from a safety perspective. Mm-hmm. If you just absolutely don't think that he can pull it off without getting people sick. From a promotional perspective, again, I feel like them running the only show in town on April 18th, in the entire month of April for that matter, the only game in town, all eyes on you. You go out there, and if you can pull it off, you do it, because this has got a chance to make not only a whole lot of new MMA fans, but a whole lot of UFC fans, and which residually makes a whole lot of money for the UFC, which is what they're all about.
Real quick, who do you like right now? So we'll review it for official predictions next week, but are you leaning either direction for the main event?
I still lean Ferguson, just because, A, he's had proper – training time to really be ready for this. B, stylistically, you know, he can wrestle better than Gaethje, and he can control where the fight goes potentially. I think that I'm actually rooting for Gaethje. I like Gaethje. I'm a Gaethje fan, and I like the way he fights, and you never see him in boring fights. He goes out there and he puts on a show. So I'm rooting for Gaethje, but if, my money it would probably be on Ferguson, because just the preparation time and stylistically, UFC still knows what they're doing. They're still putting a guy out there that stylistically Gaethje is probably not going to have as many ways to win as Tony.
All right, we'll get to our third in our three big stories, and that's the rest of this really stacked UFC 249. We'll get in some of the specifics a little bit later on after we visit with Ovince St. Preux coming up in the next segment. But Tim, you look at this card overall, and how impressive is this that it looks like Dana White is going to pull off?
I think it's pretty good, man. I think it's stacked. And I think that at first glance, a lot of people were kind of turned their nose up at it because, you know, in fairness, Dana did say they're going to put on like the baddest card of all time. I don't know if this qualifies as like the baddest card of all time, but given the circumstances and putting it together with like less than 2 weeks until it happens, I'm happy with it. Every fight on this card to me has some level of intrigue to a degree, I think, with a good 8 or 9 of them being fights that I'm actually really interested in.
Just to run through them quickly, and then we'll get into the specifics of them a little bit later on. You got a women's strawweight in the co-main event, we believe, in Jessica Andrade against Rose Namajunas. Also, Francis Ngannou against Yair Rosenstrung in a heavyweight bout. Two top six ranked guys there in the heavyweight division. You got DeCastro versus Hardy in a heavyweight bout. Welterweight bout, Luque versus Price. Featherweight, Cotter versus Stevens. Two ranked guys there. Middleweight with Uriah Hall, Ronaldo Souza. Lightweight, Hernandez versus Morales. That could have some implications to another UFC fighter we'll talk about later. Bantamweight, Borg versus Vera. Lightweight, Michael Johnson and Worthy. Women's bantamweight, Eubanks against Morales. And then the light heavyweight, Sam Alvey, who is always entertaining, or typically entertaining, against Ryan Spann. So that's a really nice card. Some ranked versus ranked fights. You got heavyweights, you got entertaining guys. And I think you're right. This is a nice card, especially under the circumstances.
Absolutely, man. And again, you know, looking up and down the card, you've got guys that are ranked. You got guys that are known to put on a good show. You got knockout artists. You got guys that are you know, bangers. And it's the UFC, again, they know they're going to have all eyes on them. They want to put out a product that is going to really hook people. So putting, you won't notice a whole lot of like grapple heavy fights on this, where you could potentially get slogs or slow paced fights that are going to turn people off.
Well, at least they won't get booing in the arena. We know that. Right. If that happens, right. If you get something slow paced. All right. Ovince St. Preux, UFC light heavyweight. He is fighting April 25th with the UFC, has a new opponent. We'll visit with Ovince St. Preux next on In the Cage MMA Radio. Hey, it's Vince Ferrara coming up on this week's edition of In the Cage MMA Radio. Wednesday night, 8 until 9, we will discuss UFC 249. It's going to happen. Dana White says the main event is set, the venue is set, and he's about to secure an island. We'll get into all of that with that stacked card at UFC 249. Plus, we'll be joined by VFL, former Tennessee football player, Knoxville resident, and UFC light heavyweight Ovince St. Preux. He'll join us on the show, and much more from the MMA world coming up on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Wind, it can really blow up your day. There goes your favorite hat. Even worse is what wind does to your wiper blades. Lifts them right off the windshield. Good luck seeing now. But not if you have Trico Onyx beam blades that slice through wind with a patented spoiler that converts wind force into maximum windshield contact, so you can see clearly and drive safely. Sadly, they can't prevent what the wind did to your hair. Pick up a pair of Trico Onyx wiper blades today and get $10 off instantly, exclusively at Advance Auto Parts.
Former NFL All-Pro Pat McAfee has no filter.
And I was going to be the guy, and I got drunk and lost his phone number.
Get the NFL experience you won't hear anywhere else. From current players, Pat and his buddies.
Well, he ends up on the Chiefs or something. And imagine having Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman,
Kelsey,
Travis Kelsey,
Damian Williams.
Oh, my God.
Mahomes would throw for 8,000 yards.
Listen and subscribe to the
Pat McAfee Show 2.0.
Free wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Planning to sell your home? Well, take my recommendation and call Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate. Hey, it's Ainge, and as a home seller, putting the most money in your pocket is the number one reason why you should call Tracy King. Don't take chances. While other agents make big promises, Tracy King will actually guarantee to sell your home at your agreed to upfront price, or he will buy it himself. And he'll back it up in writing. Tracy nets his sellers 3% more money and sells his homes 17 days faster than the average agent. Tracy's results speak volumes. Tracy recently sold the home on White Oak Ridge Lane. The sellers were blown away, accepting a great offer even before it was listed. Call the agent with the buyers. Thousands of ready home buyers who have their hand raised, looking to buy a home now. Take that next step. Call 365-2323. Tracy King, Kings of Real Estate, 365-2323. That's 365-2323. And start packing.
When there's stuff that you want gone, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Hey, Will, it's time to call Junk Be Gone and get rid of all that stuff we don't want.
Sounds good, Josh. What do you think? Driveway dumpster or full service?
Well, I'm thinking driveway dumpster. Junk Be Gone drops it off. We get to load it up for up to 7 days, and they come pick it up. Goodbye, junk.
I don't know, Josh. I'd go with Junk Be Gone's full service. You just call them. They do all the loading. No sweat, no hassle. You just point and smile.
No, I like the idea that we can take our time with the driveway dumpster. In just 7 days, we can go through the whole office and get rid of what we don't want.
I understand, but with Junk Be Gone's two-man team, they can carry out that old ratty couch from the green room or take down that old desk upstairs that has a leg missing, all while I watch the game.
Okay, Will, let's just agree to disagree. I'll go with the driveway dumpster. You can be lazy and call full service.
Whether you choose Junk Be Gone's full service or their driveway dumpster, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone at 865-675-JUNK or book online now at junkbegone.biz.
Give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
At East Tennessee Children's Hospital, when we say child life specialist, it means
they make hospitals less scary.
When we say we have the most skilled pediatricians, it means
he explains things so I can understand.
And when we say East Tennessee Children's Hospital is one of only 46 freestanding children's hospitals in the whole country, it means
it's a place all about me.
Get to know East Tennessee Children's Hospital now for those unpredictable moments down the road. East Tennessee Children's Hospital. We get kids. Learn more at etch.com.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview. Letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
In the Cage MMA Radio here on 99.1 The Sports Animal and 99.1 TheSportsAnimal.com. I'm Vince Ferrara. Tim Lowe will rejoin us in just a little bit. Pleased to be joined by UFC light heavyweight based here in Knoxville at KMAA. Has a fight coming up. And, of course, a former Tennessee football player. He's a VFL. That is Ovince St. Preux. Ovince, Vince, how we doing?
Man, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. So how's this social distancing and all that? How have you handled that during this really strange and difficult period for a lot of people right now?
It made me think outside of the box and whatnot, just because of what I can do as cardio, finding places to go train. You know, I'm doing a lot of running on my own and whatnot, so, and that's helping out tremendously. But I mean, laws are implicated, so you got to kind of oblige by the law. It's a little frustrating just for the simple fact where, you know, I'm in camp, and when all of this happened, I'm like, okay, where do I need to go train, and how am I training, and where am I meeting to go train? So that's been the challenging part. But other than that, I mean, as much as I feel like I'm training way more now than I have, even when the gym was open, just because, like, I know there's really not any room for error. Like, whenever I can get a training day in, even if I'm out running, it's raining. If it's raining outside, I'm still out training.
So what are your limitations? Are you not working with the typical partners you would? Is it maybe just smaller groups? How have you adjusted during this period with what's going on?
Mainly just smaller groups. And a lot of times is by myself too. You know, my biggest thing is make sure, you know, I'm keeping lean, my weight is dropping. And also, And also, like, just making sure my cardio is good. And then when it comes to the group workout, which is the smaller groups, it'll be, you know, 3 to 4 of us at most.
Do you feel like you're as prepared as you normally would be with the restrictions and the type of camp you're having to have?
I mean, pretty much. A lot of people, you know, this is where I feel, I take it as, you know, this is, for me, it's so called, like, I'm treating it like a short notice fight.
Right.
And I always do good in short notice fight. You know, when I'm in camp and I have, sometimes people have, you know, the 4 or 5 month camps, those long durations of time is just, for me, it's too long, and there's margin of error that's going to be in between. It's so hard to do everything in between and stay disciplined like that. And to be honest, quarantine actually, I guess this quarantine that we're going through actually made me focus more on training. So my weight is feeling good, you know, my cardio is feeling good, my hands are feeling sharp. Everything just overall just feeling sharp, so I can't complain about that. There's nothing else to do but train. There's nothing else I want to do but train.
We're visiting with Ovince St. Peru, VFL and UFC light heavyweight. He is now, he's going to fight on April 25th. Is that correct? Your opponent has changed. The venue has changed. Bring everybody up to date on what your next fight is.
Venue definitely changed. From what I've been hearing, the venue is going to be out west, somewhere out in California, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because Dana White's keeping this top secret, as we know.
it's crazy. It's just like, I feel like we are like, you know, like in a, the way it's being top secret, we're like in an underground organization, like, you know, MMA club or whatnot, and we're going to be revealed to the world and on due time. But I mean, it's actually pretty cool. Like, I mean, the thing about it is, it's just, I think the biggest thing for me was, I know now that I have a fight coming up. You know, the past 4 weeks, I've been busting my butt, and I'm like thinking to myself, do I have a fight? Do I not have a fight? Do I have a fight? Do I not have a fight? And now everything is for sure. You know, that much excitement is into it now. But I know the fight is out west, most likely California. And my opponent has changed. I'm fighting Ian Cutelabra. It was crazy because we were actually trying to get that matchup before my previous guy. And he can't fight because he's in Russia right now. You know, I've done this before. I've taken short notice fights before, you know, more times than one, it always worked out in my favor.
You mentioned the short notice. How much did you get into the opponent breakdown, or because of the circumstances, were you mainly doing training for you versus the opponent?
Not a lot changed because, you know, my trainer, Eric, already had a game plan to fight in, just because, you know, we were trying to fight him previously, and Eric, per usual, had done his research and put everything down. He was like, oh, we're fighting him. Here's the game plan. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of he don't do anything too flashy or whatnot. He does get in your face and he stays in your face. But you know, it's one of those, he's definitely going to be one of those guys that when he locks up with me, he's going to find out, he'll be like, okay, I can't push him around. So, and typically when people can't find out they can't do that, they'll eventually end up breaking.
Ovince St. Peru going to fight April 25th at one of those secret venues that I guess we'll find out at some point where that's at, and see him fight Ian Cutelabra out west in the UFC. So what do you think about all this? I mean, Dana White came out yesterday. The main event of the April 18th UFC 249 is set with Ferguson versus Gaethje. Dana White's talking about an island that he is close to securing with planes so he can bring in those international fighters. He's going to have like fights every week, like just like you, the week after UFC 249. What, from your vantage point, seeing all this transpire, it looks like it's going to happen. So what's that been like from your vantage point?
I mean, if you know Dana, if he wants to make something happen, if he needs to make something happen, he'll make something happen. So you can put Dana White hashtag with all means necessary. So he's going to make something happen. And, you know, it's just, if he says he's going to make something happen, he's going to make it happen. And, you know, when they were coming up with the terms of, I think they had a fight probably about 2 weeks ago in Tampa. And then after that, Dana was like, okay, that's not a bad idea. And all the works were coming. And he, from when I was reading more on the, decided he got a location in California the next 2 months. He's going to be, you know, plugging out fights. And he's like, you know, he's a day or two from securing a private island. I was like, what? And you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, what is going on over here? And I was like, this dude is not playing. He's like doing everything that he can. So, I mean, it's good. To be honest, you know, it's a lot of chaos. It's chaos is happening right now. Yeah. And to be honest, like, you know, Dana wants to be, when it comes to sport in general, Dana wants to be, he wants the UFC to be the face of the sports world. And to be with everything that's going on right now, it's going to happen. Cause I don't care who you are. I don't care if you don't like fights. I don't care. I don't care if you just like watching HGTV, if you just like watching just regular channel, you're going to tune in because it's something live and, you know, not too many people get to, and we haven't watched TV in the past. We haven't watched live TV in the past. How long? Besides news. That's it. News outlets. News outlets are getting everything right now. So, I mean, to actually watch a sporting event and this card on the 18th, freaking stack.
Yeah, it is.
The way he's trying to line up the cards, the card on the 18th is stacked. My card is going to be pretty much stacked. And it's just, people's going to watch it. And Dana know what he's doing. He's like, your fan base is going to grow that much wider.
So last couple things. So Vince St. Preux joining us here on In the Cage at MMA Radio. You hear people really criticizing Dana White in the UFC for trying to pull this off. You as a fighter, you're willing and you're going to get in the cage during this pandemic period of time. Why don't you have the concerns that maybe a lot of other people do from the outside about your health and safety?
I understand where people come from with that, but as a fighter, people just don't understand. Like, I play football. Mm-hmm. Football is getting, when you play football, you play a game every week. It's cool. Sometimes, you know, I've been in situations where, you know, I remember we were supposed to play Florida one year. The game got canceled down in Florida because it was hurricane season. There was a hurricane coming through there or whatnot.
Right.
And I was like, okay, cool. Enough. We had a game the following week. I had a game the following week after that. But to be honest, when you're actually scheduled to get ready for a fight and you invest all your time, money, I'm killing myself. You know, the past, like I said, the past 2 weeks, I've probably been the worst just because I've been killing myself the past 2 weeks, you know, training. I'm running. Like today is Tuesday and I'm already at 15 miles from Sunday and Monday of running. And I've still got, you know, I'm pretty much doing anywhere from 5, sometimes 10 miles a day of conditioning just for the simple fact to make myself get ready for this fight. So if I'm putting in all this work, I need to get something out of it. And as fighters too, people don't understand. It's just like the last time I fought was in September. If something happens and I don't fight, the next time I'm going to fight is probably probably August, September. What am I going to do for that long?
That's money too, right?
Exactly.
The testing. Dana White's talked about everybody's going to be tested. Do you know if you're going to be tested for a fever temperature or is this actual COVID-19 coronavirus testing that as fighters you expect to get? Has that been made clear to you?
I have no idea. Okay. To be honest, too, like it's funny you say that, but like pretty much like every 2 days, I'm getting a temperature thermometer and I'm putting it in my mouth, checking it, right. And I'm doing that. I'm making sure. I was talking to my brother, who's actually a nurse down in Florida. I feel like one of the biggest things you can do is test people's like I guess when you go in for physical, they put the little thing in the heart rate. It's like it determines your heartbeat and actually determines how much the oxygen level is, how much oxygen you have in your blood. My brother told me, he was like, it would be a good idea if you did this or one of those. And because your oxygen level, if it starts dropping, that means you're getting sick.
Right.
So every day I'm checking my oxygen level, like 89, not 89, but 98, 99. And, you know, my heart, my beats per minute are actually pretty good. I'm usually having my resting heart rate. It's like at 48. So I'm doing things I need to do. I'm making sure that I'm getting tested. Like every time I had to go in for a physical. The first thing they did was take my temperature and everything was good. My body feels pretty good, amazing right now.
The only thing to that, Ovince, I get that, and that's a great way to make sure you are tested. But there is that element of asymptomatic carrying the virus. So even if there may be people that all the fighters test, they don't have any temperature or anything like that, doesn't mean that maybe somebody doesn't still have it. So that really isn't something that you worry about then.
I can't let it. If it does, it's just like I'm kind of taken away from it. And I feel like at times, if you worry about things, you bring it upon yourself. Mm-hmm. So like with me, like there's a possibility of me catching it. Yes, there is, because of what I'm doing right now.
Right.
But at the same time, it's just like either me can stay in the house, which I mean, I've pretty much been doing what I need to do, you know, I wash my hands. Then they live in hand sanitizers now. Yeah. But I just can't worry about that. If I worry about that, I mean, I'm not doing my job.
All right. Last thing. You were really good when we asked you for a prediction back at the John Jones Reyes fight. You had worked out with Reyes and you actually kind of leaned towards Reyes, and a lot of people thought he won the fight, even though obviously he didn't get it on the judges' scorecard. So I think you're pretty good at some of these predictions. Who wins that main event, Ferguson or Gaethje?
Ferguson, even when people think he's not training, he's training. He's one of the different breeds of fighters that is pretty. Fighters tell him he's out there. I remember having a conversation with him one time, and he asked me if I cook my meals. I told him, no, I don't cook my meals. You know, I get my meals shipped in. And he was like, okay, cool. And I was like, do you cook your meals? And he told me he does cook his meals. And I was like, okay. And he was like, and he just had the expression on his face. He's like, yeah, you know, when I'm cooking my food, you know, I talk to my food. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You talk to your food. He's like, I'm telling my food that, you know, you're the one that's going to fuel me. You're the one that's going to make me be the best fighter in the world and stuff. And I looked at him and I was like, you know, I didn't think he was out there, but I was like, to each his own. But you can't really say anything about him just because the way he is. Now, with this fight going on, like Ferguson, I definitely got Ferguson winning the fight.
Okay.
Gaethje's taking a fight on short notice, and Ferguson is not the type of dude you want to take a fight on short notice, especially this fight that he'd been preparing to fight Khabib. And I'm guaranteeing he'd been training probably twice as hard as everybody. Has Gaethje been training? I don't know. Even if with all this, you know, coronavirus thing going on, everybody, even fighters, backed off. Gym shut down, backed off. So do Gaethje taking this fight on short notice? Yes, the opportunity is there. Yes, I mean, anything can happen. But Ferguson, man, the way he fights is like no other.
And Khabib and Gaethje couldn't be any more different, though, right, to prepare for?
Oh, yeah. But I think it couldn't be any different. Like, even you get elite strikers that fight Ferguson, and Ferguson would just dismantle him.
Yeah.
So, you know, Gaethje striking is pretty good, got pretty good wrestling. Ferguson is hard to take down. He does have wrestling, and if he gets you on the ground, more than likely you're going to get submitted.
Let me squeeze in one other quick football question with you. Obviously, the same thing is going on with football, kind of on hold. With those guys not having a spring practice, they're talking about hopefully maybe they can get a little mini camp going or prior to fall practice. What do you think about the difficulty of preparing for a season with what's going on and football players not being able to have the contact and do the normal stuff that they do?
I mean, it's just going to be extremely hard because, I mean, the reason it's going to be hard is because on a roster, if you look at a roster, football roster, there's almost over 100 players on the sidelines. And you talk about the coaches, the assistant coaches, you talk about the managers, you talk about the training room people, and you talk about the equipment people. If you want to throw in the administration too, you can talk about them. I think that will be the challenging part, just because even you can have both sides of the ball. Even when you're on the field, you know, there's 11 players on each side. Then you talk about the umpires and stuff. They might be able to do something about it. You know, football season don't fold around until, you know, pretty much late August. So, you know, hopefully all this can clear up by before then. But other than that, it's just like it will be hard. It will be hard. Like with my situation – I mean, to be quite honest, it'll be myself and three other guys. So, and you have different teams there, but you won't, at the venue itself, you probably won't even have 100 people there.
Well, Ovince, really appreciate it. All the best to you on April 25th in that yet to be named venue. Shout out to your brother, the nurse in Florida, and all the other medical people out there for what they're doing. I mean, they're really in the middle of it and sacrificing their health to be able to help everybody else. And then big props for the Muhammad Ali photo in the background over your shoulder. That's outstanding, Ovince.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Be safe. Talk to you soon.
Definitely.
All right, that is Ovince St. Preux. We will talk more about UFC 249 next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When there's stuff that you want gone, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Hey, Will, it's time to call Junk Be Gone and get rid of all that stuff we don't want.
Sounds good, Josh. What do you think? Driveway dumpster or full service?
Well, I'm thinking driveway dumpster. Junk Be Gone drops it off. We get to load it up for up to 7 days, and they come pick it up. Goodbye, junk.
I don't know, Josh. I'd go with Junk Be Gone's full service. You just call them. They do all the loading. No sweat, no hassle. You just point and smile.
No, I like the idea that we can take our time with the driveway dumpster. In just 7 days, we can go through the whole office and get rid of what we don't want.
I understand, but with Junk Be Gone's two-man team, they can carry out that old ratty couch from the green room or take down that old desk upstairs that has a leg missing, all while I watch the game.
Okay, well, let's just agree to disagree. I'll go with the driveway dumpster. You can be lazy and call full service.
Whether you choose Junk Be Gone's full service or their driveway dumpster, give a buzz to Junk Be Gone at 865-675-JUNK or book online now at junkbegone.biz.
Give a buzz to Junk Be Gone.
Hey guys, it's Ange for Kings of Real Estate, and my friend and trusted realtor Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate is on fire. Tracy sold the home on Misty Ridge Way for $10,000 over asking price, never hitting the MLS, utilizing his extensive list of ready buyers. Agent selection matters, and now's the time you need to work with an experienced agent with a proven track record like Tracy King. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with Tracy's clients who always say we're so glad we called Tracy King. I've seen Tracy's systems and his extensive list of ready home buyers, thousands of pre-screened buyers looking for homes in the Knoxville and surrounding area. Tracy has a solid track record and guarantees to sell your home at your price, or Tracy will buy it himself, guaranteed, in writing. Do yourself a favor and call the agent with the buyers. Call Tracy King at 365-2323, 365-2323, that's 365-2323, and start packing.
And sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Consult your physician prior to discontinuing use of any medication. Attention. This is an important message to anyone who has been diagnosed with cancer after prolonged use of Zantac or other heartburn medication. Recently, the FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing the heartburn drug ranitidine may be contaminated with cancer-causing agents. This announcement has been followed by drug companies recalling their generic ranitidine and Zantac products, while drugstores are pulling these products from their shelves. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications regularly, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call 800-761-7951 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you're eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-761-7951. Again, 800-761-7951. That's 800-761-7951.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
What?
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio. I'm Vince Ferraro with Tim Loy. You can get our podcast right after the show airs. We'll have it up for you at 991thesportsanimal.com. Just go to the show page or find us on iTunes, Google, wherever you get your podcasts each week. And we're here Wednesday nights, 8 until 9. So, Tim, just talked to Ovince St. Preux. Just a real quick thing. What do you think about his matchup with Kudalaba, which he says is going to happen on April 25th?
I think it's a more fun fight. You know, I wasn't really too well versed on his last opponent, but, you know, Kudalaba is a guy that we've seen a lot of. He's a very intense fellow, as we've seen. And I think he's more stylistically more likely to have, you know, a nice, exciting firefight with Ovince. I'll be interested to see if he goes across the cage on him like he did the last guy during the intro. You know, he stormed across the cage.
Yeah, he probably doesn't want to do that with Ovince. Ovince is a nice guy, but in the cage, he has that switch. But
right. He
did mention that this was a fight in our conversation, that this was a fight that actually they've been trying, his camp has been trying to set up before. So It turns out that both of their opponents were changed and the two are matching up. So good luck to Ovince in that card.
They both had Russian opponents.
Right. And with that international travel aspect of it, it changed. So we'll see that card, the next one, the fight night card on April 25th, beef up, and we'll talk more about it next week. All right, let's get back to this card here at UFC 249. Let's quickly hit on Andrade Namajunas. Where do you stand on these two in this rematch?
You know, the momentum is going in opposite directions here, you know, because Andrade just got, you know, ran so badly by Wiley Zhang. But, you know, after that, you know, Zhang has had her coming out party, and so we know she's legit. I think that Namajunas is the rightful favorite, but I think that Andrade is definitely going to come out motivated after losing her title like that. She has to have this win to stay relevant.
Yeah, I like Rose also. I don't know that we've seen the highest level Rose in a minute, but I think she has the ability. If she's in the right mindset, I think she should win as well. What about Ngannou, Rozenstruik? This was put together recently and confirmed it's on the card. What do you think of these two heavyweights?
Yeah, that fight was supposed to headline the Columbus card. They got canceled. So I think that it is certainly, I would assume it's going to fall in the feature slot right below the ladies there in the co-main event. And for that slotting, I mean, it's a great feature fight. You know, it could main event its own lesser level show. Honestly, it should be a firefight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Both those guys can hit.
You know, I hope that the UFC, and I think we talked about it before, I hope the UFC looks at this and says, look, if we can stack our cards and get more bang for our buck, rather than taking what could be good feature fights or co-main events and make them main events of fight nights. But that's, I guess, for down the road. The Alexander Hernandez, Omar Morales fight. We've talked about that lightweight division for Hot Sauce. How do you think this could potentially impact Hot Sauce as he continues to try to get into the lightweight rankings?
Well, for Alexander Hernandez, you know, he was supposed to fight Makhachev, who he would have been about a 3-1 underdog against. So now he'd probably be a favorite in this fight. So he goes from a fight that he was probably not going to win to a fight that he should win. That said, if Morales is able to knock him off, then one would have to imagine that opens up that 15th slot in the rankings. I'm not saying for sure Hot Sauce would be the guy to slide in there, because there's been so many other good guys that are right in that same tier getting wins, you know. But at the same time, it certainly isn't going to hurt. And so, you know, I would imagine he's going to be a big Omar Morales fan this weekend. Morales is tough, though. He's 9-0 guy coming off the Contender Series. He's, you know, he's put together, but he'll be an underdog.
What's the next fight after these that we've talked about that you really are interested in, and whether it's a matchup or an opportunity for someone, what's the next one that catches your attention on the card?
You know, I've got to say that just because I know it's going to be fire, Calvin Kattar and Jeremy Stephens is going to be awesome. Calvin Kattar doesn't have bad fights. Jeremy Stephens doesn't have bad fights. And in the same vein, Vicente Luque and Nico Price. Those is fire, man. Those guys are going to throw. There's lots of fights like that on this card.
Boy, if there was ever anyone that would be perfect for a situation like this, like a fighter is like, hey, I don't care, I'll just show up. It's Jeremy Stephens, right? He's the guy.
Absolutely. He throws caution to the wind. He's there to bang. He's there to put on a show. And I'm telling you, Calvin Kattar is, if you've watched Calvin Kattar fights, man, that guy brings it. He's long, he's tall, and he does nothing but come forward and throw heat, and he's got a great chin.
All right, we will break this down in complete detail next week. UFC 249 looks like it's going to happen April 18th out on the West Coast, seemingly in California. Full preview next week on In the Cage MMA Radio. Our lightning round, as we close things out, is next. Got some notes for you, including how fighters cheat at the weigh-in. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Hey, East Tennessee, I'm Chad Campbell. During these uncertain times, Rusty Wallace Honda's here for you. That's why, in an effort to help, you can purchase a new vehicle at Rusty Wallace Honda, and I'll make all of your payments until next year. You'll have zero money out of pocket until 2021. Plus, for the entire month, I'm including a 200,000-mile warranty at no additional charge. That's right, I'll make all your payments until next year and include a 200,000-mile warranty. Rusty Wallace Honda is here for you.
Junk Be Gone is open and here to serve you in this time of need. Full-service junk removal, trash removal, and driveway dumpsters. Just give them a buzz at 865-675-JUNK or book online at junkbegone.biz. Minimal contact, fantastic results.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text BELT to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BELT to 42424. That's BELT to 42424.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. Put your mortgage on a quarantine right now. Put your credit cards and other bills on a permanent quarantine forever. Home Rate Mortgage is here to help. 805-9100, homeratemortgage.com.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Physical activity and the great outdoors are essential to our mental and physical health, now and always. With spring and beautiful East Tennessee weather upon us, there's no better time to get out and golf. Go online to 991thesportsanimal.com for the 2020 East Tennessee Golf Cart, presented by Edwin Watts Golf. For less than half price, you can play 18 holes with a cart at 15 great courses. Sevierville Country Club, the greens at Deerfield, Ruggles Ferry, Wild Laurel, Patriot Hills, Williams Creeks, Three Ridges, Toqua, Tennessee, and Kahidi of Teleco Village, Whittle Springs, Dandridge Golf and Country Club, Clinchview, Knoxville Municipal, and Woodlake make up this year's golf cards, giving you access to premier courses at unbeatable values. These cards are valued at more than $340 each, but they can be yours for just $139 a piece. Go online to 991thesportsanimal.com to get yours.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to.
Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick, but we promise it'll be good.
Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
It starts with
one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep
back here on In the Cage MMA Radio with Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. It is lightning round time where we clean up and add to some things that we didn't get a chance to get to a little bit earlier in the show that we want to bring you before we wrap things up. UFC fighter Anthony Smith telling Ariel Helwani and reports afterwards on it that his home was broken into. He had a home intruder in his house in Omaha, Nebraska, and he literally had to fight this guy that kept coming after him. Guy was charged with criminal trespass, but man, scary in the middle of the night to find somebody in your house. Thank goodness you're a UFC fighter and you can beat the heck out of guys, right, Tim?
Yeah, man, that's scary both ways. You know, it's as in these times, as people begin to get desperate, they're not able to work and they don't have money and they start doing things that they wouldn't normally do. You gotta be careful whose house you're breaking into, because Anthony Smith is not the guy to mess with. No, Anthony's lucky the guy didn't have a gun and didn't shoot him. The guy's lucky Anthony didn't shoot him as well, you know? Right. So it could have turned out a lot worse than it did, all things considered.
So the Korean Zombie on his video blog put out some ways that fighters cheat at the weigh-ins. Tim, you've run an organization and a matchmaker. You're there for the weigh-ins, the official ones and the ones that are presented to the public as well. Some of the items that he mentioned were kind of leaning on a towel. There's one where you put a finger on the fighter's butt from behind and lift them up just the slightest little bit that can make a difference on the scale. What do you think about him putting it out there, and what have you seen from your vantage point?
You know, I've seen these things over the years. It's the towel thing is becoming a hot trick, you know. But at the same time, your opponents are starting to realize those tricks as well. So they're watching for them, you know, to try to pop you doing those kind of things. I generally let the regulatory bodies handle that stuff. The Tennessee State Athletic Commission, any sort of weigh-in issues, I just kind of try to stay back and let them handle any discrepancies or issues in that regard, because otherwise we'd be into a whole mess. But yeah, you know, as the old saying goes, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right?
And the Korean Zombie said, hey, look, I just want everyone to benefit. Everyone on the inside knows. It's just good for the outside to know as well. Maybe we can clean it up. Awesome job, Tim. Really appreciate it. Great job as always. And again, thankful that we get UFC 249 to talk about. We'll preview it next week.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the time, Vince. I enjoyed it. Now we got a little pep in our step going into next week.
We do. Hope you're safe, Tim, and hope everyone listening is safe as well. That'll do it for In the Cage MMA Radio here each Wednesday night from 8 until 9 on 99.1 The Sports.